Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 3:26 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is September 28th. Well, I thought I would kick off today with the S&P 500 because it is steadying in the region of the 200-day moving average, which is an expected area where you might anticipate some support coming through, particularly if one were to believe that we are in a soft landing environment. And of course, if we're not in a soft landing environment, well, then the bounce we have from this level isn't going to be particularly impressive. So it's a pretty important level where we should pay particular attention to the ability of stocks to rally. Then I think it's also interesting today some of the moves that we've had in the commodities sector. And most particularly, gold was still weak. But some of the other precious metals were in positive territory. And we did have some respite in the dollar's advance. So I think it is quite clear that as long as the dollar is rising, it's emblematic of deleveraging and raising cash. Whenever the dollar eases back, well, then the stock market went up today. And then the continued rise in government bond yields took a bit of a breather in here as well. But then, when we think about what's happening in Europe, bond yields are becoming problematic there. And I think we should also just pay attention to the fact that Europe enjoyed negative bond yields for several years. And both the, well, not just the German government, but several governments in Europe were able to issue debt with a negative yield. And that, well, basically, then they were being paid to issue debt, paid to borrow money. So, when you're in that kind of environment, you have every incentive to borrow as much as you possibly can, and then also to engage in speculative activity. So, one of the primary big moves that we had was in German property, for example, and now that's starting to come down. But I think when we think about what's happening in the bond markets in Europe, it is going to turn into a problematic event, and most particularly as spreads rise in an environment where yields are also rising. So I think that's certainly something we'll pay some attention to. Then we're also starting to see some more bullish activity in the Bitcoin sector, and the price was up today around $800 at one point. Didn't quite hold all of it, but it is some additional evidence that there's steadier action underway, that the 25,000 level continues to hold, and we are only about 7 months out from the halving. So with all of that, let's just zoom in now and look at some of the more important charts today. I think when we look at the S&P 500, just from a purely technical perspective, this is the first area of potential support. We have a lower high and a lower low. So, in order to demonstrate support here, we don't just need to see a little bit of steadier action. It needs to bounce and do so in an emphatic fashion. And then when we look at the NASDAQ, well, the NASDAQ has not quite yet come back down to the region of the 200-day moving average, but at least it did steady in here today. It wasn't up over, it wasn't up over 1%, not an especially dynamic move here. So I think that's it's also the same kind of technical pattern here, where we've had a good sized rebound. This is the first meaningful period of consolidation. If it is only a consolidation, then the 200-day moving average will continue to offer support. If it turns into more than that, then it'll be a retest of the 1,000-day moving average. So, what happens next, I think, will be quite meaningful. And then, when we think about what are the kinds of catalysts that could affect sentiment, well, I think what happens tomorrow is going to be a big part of that. It's going to have a major effect on how do people view the potential for further interest rate hikes. The GDP figures today were basically in line. So the core PCE came in at around 3.7%, which is exactly where it was last time, and that's what was expected. And then personal consumption was down. That certainly helps to suggest that perhaps we are more in a softer landing environment. But of course, softer landings also depend on the contraction and activity actually stopping. And of course, if it just persists, well, then you go through the soft landing environment and into a harder landing. And I think that is the kind of thing that people don't particularly feel comfortable predicting. Now, I think it's going to be very important tomorrow what happens when we do get that PCE deflator and the core deflator. If we were to see that inflation is coming back down, then that would be, I think, further fuel for the view that we are now in a softer landing environment, and that would lend some support to stocks. If for any reason we see that inflation is popping on the upside again, well, then that is going to raise the specter of not just one additional interest rate hike, but several. And I think that's going to be an important factor. Now, when we look at the 10-year yield, then it is holding the breakout. And we were down about 3 basis points in here today, and that did reverse an earlier advance. So we have a very oversold condition for bonds with the dollar coming down today. I'm not going to say the dollar has reversed. It's a small move overall from a really quite a sharp overbought condition. But any time that we see any kind of dollar weakness, it is lending support to risk assets. And considering the depth of the decline we've seen in sovereign bonds over the last year, I think they're very much being classed as risk assets. Now let's also look at what's going on in the Bund future, because it really did accelerate lower in here today. Now I was looking at this chart last week or the week before, and it looked like a developing type 2 bottom, where we have this sequence of lower rally highs and sequence of lower lows, but that the pace of the decline was starting to ebb. But that's no longer the case. In fact, the decline is now accelerating again and pulling away once more from the region of the 200-day moving average. So if we flip that around, then the yield on the 10-year German bond has popped on the upside now. It's testing the 3% level. But then let's look at Italy. So if we look at Italy's spread over bunds, well, we're up to nearly 200 basis points, which means that yields on Italian debt are closing in on 5%. And that spread has broken the sequence of lower rally highs. So we have to then begin to consider that Italy is somewhere we should be paying attention to, because Italian debt currently has a wider spread than either Spain or Greece. In fact, Greece is growing faster than any other country in Europe right now. And it's come through this lengthy process of writing off some of its debt and recalibrating the economy in a pretty good fashion. Now, the Italian MIB index is steady, and it has held so far above the peaks from back in 2021. But we should be paying attention to those government bonds. And if BTBs, if that yield doesn't start to moderate soon, well, it's going to start having a serious problematic effect on the ability of the Italian government to fund themselves. And I think that is going to fast forward some of the internal struggles that we have in the EU. And it is also a significant factor in just questioning what the interest rate policy of the ECB is, because they're talking about raising interest rates even more and maintaining them higher for longer. But government finances are going to start coming under stress before very long. And there's not an awful lot they can do about rising energy prices. So The only way that they can really do anything about rising energy prices is to kill demand. And that represents a really significant recessionary risk. Now, oil prices were down today and down a couple of dollars. So we've had a meaningful pop higher over the last 24 hours and got almost up to test the $100 area, now back around the 95 area. And we might get some consolidation as we test that big psychological level. The big argument continues to be about the extent to which demand will be curtailed by higher interest rates, tighter liquidity, and slowing economic growth, and how much it will be supported by the absence of fresh sources of new supply. And the private sector, or the non-OPEC plus sector of supply, they don't have much of an incentive to go out on the risk curve and to think about how they might be able to increase supply because the environment remains so uncertain. So I think this is a very interesting environment for oil prices. But one thing we can certainly say is that so far the consolidation that we've had has been very orderly. And a reaction of more than $6 would be required to question the consistency of the advance. Now, having popped on the upside, if that breakout fails, then it is now, I think, appropriate to have a midpoint danger line stop. And considering that the low is a lot closer to about $92, and the upper side of the range is just north of 95, we're really not that far away from a midpoint danger line stop. So if that breakout fails, it could be a major trend inconsistency, and that then would give a lot more weight to the argument that the global economy is slowing down in a more profound manner. Now, when we think about the gold price, well, it is heavily impacted by what happens with the dollar and the outlook for the real rate. And gold prices were down about $9 today and extending the decline down through the $1,900 area. Now, there is a popular story going around the media today that Costco has been selling 1 ounce gold bars, and they sell out immediately as soon as they go on sale. So it's not like there isn't demand for physical gold, and that people are certainly willing to put their money where their mouth is and go off and buy physical bars. However, when we think about the ETF holdings of gold, then that isn't nearly as sticky. So, the ETF holdings continue to trend downwards. And that is, I think, purely a reflection of the continued strength of the US dollar, even today when it was down a little and it might even come back a bit more. And I think it is much more important to pay attention to real rates. When the trend of real rates turns around, and it will eventually turn around, then we're going to see a significant rebound in gold prices. But for now, at least, it is still trending higher, and it's up to 2.2%. So that's a significant real rate, and it's the most saver has been able to achieve since 2008. So I think that is one of the primary headwinds that gold has to contend with, despite the fact that the dollar was a little weaker in here today. Now, what I thought was especially interesting is that even though gold was in negative territory, silver was in positive territory. And it's steadying in the region of the lower side of the range. It hasn't broken downwards, or at least it hasn't broken downwards just yet. If the decline in gold persists, I don't believe that silver will be completely immune. But we are at the point in the cycle where we should anticipate that silver will outperform. Usually, in the acceptance and mania stages of the precious metal bull market, it's reasonable to anticipate that silver will outperform gold, and that is true both on the upside and the downside. And then platinum prices are also steadying around the $900 area. Now, I think that there is a little bit of speculation that platinum might get a bullish catalyst from support for the hydrogen fuel cycle, because platinum is the primary catalyst for hydrogen fuel cells. So it was up $20 today and steadying around the $900 area. And $900 has been an area of support on several occasions over the course of the last 7 years, but hasn't really been a meaningful area of support. There have been plenty of times when it has dropped below it and successfully found support in that area. I think the more important level will be $1,000. And when platinum can both hold the $1,000 area and then improve upon it, well, then we can have a more, I think, mature conversation about the potential that we're in back in a new bull market environment overall. And palladium has also begun to steady after a very steep decline. And the potential, of course, is that we'll get an economic recovery. But of course, that is totally dependent on a soft landing. And if we do get that, then we should anticipate that demand for automotives will improve, and that will be beneficial for palladium. But of course, then that is also assuming that the cars that people buy will be internal combustion engines. The primary reason that palladium went up so much in the first place is because the automotive companies did not retool, that they were continuing to use palladium despite the massive discount on platinum, simply because they didn't want to spend the money to retool when they don't anticipate that internal combustion engines are going to be their primary sales vehicle in future. So we are at a rather interesting juncture there. And I think the other interesting commodity market right now is orange juice, where we had this incredible advance and we're at truly historic levels here. But now the price is starting to come back down. Now, it hasn't broken the sequence of higher reaction lows, and but I think it is worth highlighting here that it could not hold the breakout yesterday and then pulled back down in here today. And I think this is a more important time to pay attention to it, simply because the backwardation is also starting to roll over from an important area of resistance. There has been a clear cyclicality in the performance of the first month versus the second month, and now it's starting to encounter resistance at the upper side of this range, and we can see clearly that the difference between the two contracts is quite capable of dropping by about $10. And I think that is more likely than not. So we're probably due at least some consolidation in the orange juice market. So then let's just take a step back and think about what else is going on here. Well, China's property sector, it remains under pressure. Eventually, they will have to increase monetary accommodation. They'll have to increase fiscal accommodation to really stop the rot. And the Country Garden has got a massive outstanding liability, and the share is still trending downwards. So there is clearly the potential that it's going to turn into a major problem. Now, China Evergrande stopped trading for the last time in here today, even though it was really the beginning of the whole crisis back in 2019. Or, excuse me, in 2021 was the default, and then the fears about it stretch further back than that. Well, Country Garden is still trending downwards, but this is a private company. China Vanke is a state-owned company. It's basically a property developer royalty, but the share is trending downwards in no uncertain terms, and there is no sign yet that the a downtrend has broken. It's going to require a really clear upward dynamic, a standout move, similar to the kind of move that we saw in October of last year, where we had an acceleration lower and then a one big week on the upside. It was enough to see the price rebound and just, well, not quite double, but really not far off it either. But then that couldn't be held. So not only does it have to rebound in the same fashion, but then it needs to sustain that move above the 200-day moving average. That's not going to be as difficult to do on this occasion as it was back then, because it's not as overextended at present. Or I think perhaps more accurately, it's not as overextended at present, or yet. One thing that I think is quite likely is that we're going to see China follow a similar pattern to what happened in India. About 5 years ago, or 4 to 5 years ago, we started to see that the housing finance sector was really running into trouble in India. And when we think about what happened there, well, now it's been taken over. Now, I don't think that Bloomberg is going to give us the back history, so we can't look at the old chart, or maybe we can. So, D1 came down from 700 to 15, and it could have gone bust. It was eventually taken over, and that's what happened to a private lender. The same thing happened to Yes Bank. They had been lending into the housing development finance sector, and the share is still trading, but it's at a fraction of where it was trading before. But then, when we think about the State Bank of India, so we have a clear government bank, and it did pull back in 2019 and 2020, but has subsequently rebounded and is still in a very strong position. And I suspect then that that is quite similar to what we can anticipate with China. They're not going to let all of the property developers go bust. And some of the private companies will eventually be acquired by the government-owned companies. And if we spin this out 3 or 4 years, there's a strong likelihood there probably won't be any private property developers any longer, and that the entire sector will be government-owned. And that is, I think, very much in line with the increasingly socialist way of thinking that has permeated the administration in China. So I think India's example is a very good way of thinking about what we can anticipate there. Then I also continue to monitor copper prices really rather closely, and the price was in positive territory in here today. So steadying in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. Now the range here has been locked on the upper side between the 200-day and on the lower side at the 1,000-day, and there's the potential that it could rebound back to that upper area of resistance. But we're still in this very tight environment, and global liquidity remains very tight. And I think the market is increasingly sensitive to the potential for any kind of easing. But the likelihood of easing is very much tied to the outlook for inflation. And that's why I've been paying particular attention to the kinds of moves that we get tomorrow. I just don't think that inflation is coming down nearly as quickly as the Federal Reserve might like, and with oil prices popping on the upside, that headline inflation rate is going to be higher than they might like. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.